Well, good afternoon, everyone. It's really lovely to see you, and thanks very much for the opportunity to speak to you this afternoon about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you've got Bibles with you, don't worry if you don't, that's okay, but if you've got Bibles with you, please turn with me to the book of 1 Kings and chapter 8, to 1 Kings and chapter 8. Now, back in 2009, many of you will know that I'm from Inverness, and that's my hometown, and I grew up around boats and harbours and things like that, and I love that sort of thing. And my dad took me, so I would have been 18, 19 back in 2009, my dad took me to the grand opening of the new marina in Inverness. So the new harbour was being opened, and a lady that you may have heard of called, she's called Dame now, Dame Ellen MacArthur. She was a very famous female sailor. She was the first female sailor to circumnavigate the globe in a yacht, so she sailed around the entire world. She came up to Inverness to cut the ribbon and open the new marina, and it was an amazing thing to be at. I'll never forget it. But I'm taking you to a chapter in the Bible today about another grand opening. And actually, in our quiz, just a few moments ago, this side, I think, was asked, what did Solomon build for God? And I think it was Ewan answered that it was the temple. It was the temple. And this chapter is all about the opening of the temple, the grand opening, and about Solomon's prayer. So I'm going to be reading to you just a few sentences from a prayer. Can I ask you, have you ever prayed? Do you ever pray? There might be people here who pray every day. You maybe pray multiple times every day if you're a Christian. But maybe there are people here and you've never prayed before. Maybe you've never said even one prayer. Well, I'm glad you're here. 1 Kings chapter 8. Now, I want to just point out three things. Just three very simple things this morning. I want to look at the God who knows, the God who came, and the God who hears. The God who knows, the God who came, and the God who hears. Let me set the scene for you. And it's verse 22 to start with. Let me set the scene. Then Solomon, I want you to imagine this. Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the assembly of Israel, and spread out his hands toward heaven and said, O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven above or on earth beneath. The God that we believe in here at Albert Hall and in every Christian church is the only true and living God, the one God who made the whole world and is our creator. He made you and he made me. And this is the God that Solomon comes before as we've got the grand unveiling, the grand opening of the temple, a place where God would be worshipped. That's the scene. Now, let's look first of all at the God who knows. Just one verse. At the end of verse 39, we read this. For you only know the hearts of all the children of mankind. For you only know the hearts of all the children of mankind. Do you know that God knows everything about you? God knows your name. God knows that you're here today. And God knows everything you've ever done. He knows everything you've ever done and said. He knows all the thoughts you ever had in your mind. God knows everything about you. And God loves you. God loves you. He's the God who knows. The God who knows every detail of your life. And in fact, God knows you better than you know yourself. There's probably somebody here today with you who knows you really well. Maybe a friend, maybe a family member, maybe a loved one. And they know you really well, but they don't know you like God knows you. God knows everything there is to know about you. And that was true about Jesus. Do you know that everything that's true about God the Father is true about Jesus Christ? John chapter 2, let me read to you. You don't need to turn there, but let me read to you one sentence here. Jesus is on his way to a feast, and he says this. He knew all people and needed no one to bear witness about man, for he himself knew what was in man. God knows everything about you. So does Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is the true and living God himself. God knows everything about you. Jesus Christ knows everything about you. But knowing everything about us then, what's the problem? What's the problem? God knows everything about you and me. What's the problem? You see, I wouldn't be comfortable with you knowing everything about me. I wouldn't be comfortable with you knowing everything about me. Here's a verse from later on in the prayer. Solomon's praying. He says, you only know the hearts of all the children of mankind. And then in verse 46, he says this very simple statement. For there is no one who does not sin. For there is no one, this is in verse 46, there is no one who does not sin. That's a very serious statement, isn't it? But you know, I think it's true. And I know it's true. Why do I know it's true? Because it's in the Bible. And the Bible is the true and living word of God. There's no one who does not sin. There's nobody who's ever lived on planet Earth who's perfect. We've all done and said and thought wrong things. We've all fallen short of the glory and standards of a holy and a perfect God. So God knows everything about you. God knows your name, the hairs on your head. He knows every deed you've ever done. He knows all the things that I'd be ashamed for you to know about me. But he also knows what's the heart of the problem in Ian Jameson's life, and that is sin. Sin. The things that I do and say and think that separate me from God. And the Bible tells me elsewhere in the scriptures that that sin means that I'm separated from a holy God. So I'm separated from a holy God, and it's impossible for me to have a relationship with him. But you know, I'm standing before you today, and every other Christian in this church is in the same boat, that we do have a real, living relationship with God. How's that come about? Well, he's the God who knows. He's the God who knows you. But secondly, he's the God who came. Here's another sentence from this prayer. Chapter 8, verse 27. Solomon's looking at this amazing temple that he's built. You know, it was one of the wonders of the world, the Temple of Solomon. An incredible building. You know, all the stones that were quarried for the Temple of Solomon were quarried quite a long way away from where the temple was built. They were chipped out and chiseled and quarried from quarries outside of Jerusalem, quite far away, so that when the temple was being built, there was no noise of chisel and no noise of stones being quarried. They wanted it to be quite a quiet process. Just imagine this huge, great big temple being built in quietness. But looking at this temple, Solomon said this, "But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, heaven and the highest heaven cannot contain you. How much less this house that I've built?" Solomon understood something very important, that God, the God of the universe, the mighty God, the God who made you and sustains everything, that God can't be contained. You don't have to come into this building in Renfrew to meet God. And there's lots of churches in Renfrew that preach the gospel and believe the Bible, and you don't have to go into their buildings either to meet God. He's just as much out there on the street in Albert Road as he is in here. He's just as much God in your flat or your house at home as he is in here. You can't contain God in a building, and you can't now, and you couldn't then. And Solomon understood that. In the book of Acts and chapter 17, we read something from one of the sermons of one of the early Christians. And he's in Athens, the capital of Greece. And he says this, a man called Paul, "The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man. Nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything." I wonder if you realize that not only does God know your name and he knows that you're here today and he knows everything you've ever done, but the very next breath you take in your lungs this afternoon comes from God. He decides if you breathe, and he gives that breath to you. He sustains your life. So will that sort of God, that sort of mighty God, that sort of creator God, will he really come and dwell in the temple when Solomon's built it? God had given a promise to the people of Israel, his people. He said this, "If you build the temple according to the pattern I've given you, if you build it, I'll come and I'll dwell in the temple. I'll not be contained in the temple as if I lived there, but my glory, my presence will come down and live in the temple." Let me show you that, and I'll just read a couple of verses from chapter 8, verses 10 and 11. "And when the priests came out of the holy place," the temple was finished, "a cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priests couldn't stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord." Wouldn't that have been amazing to have been there and seen it? The very last element of the temple is put in place, and the priests come out, and a cloud of glory fills the temple. God's true to his promise, and he comes down and lives amongst men. That's amazing. But you know, that pales into insignificance when we consider what happened when Jesus Christ was born here on the earth. Because in John chapter 1, we read these amazing words. In John chapter 1, in verse 14, "And the Word, that's Jesus Christ, became flesh and dwelt among us, and we've seen his glory. Glory is of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." It's one thing for the cloud of God's glory to come into a temple made by man. It's another thing for God himself to come into the world. And what Christians believe is that what we celebrate at Christmas time is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, actually coming down and living amongst ordinary men and women like you and me, with one central driving purpose for coming. And that was to pay the price for all of our sin. Remember, God knows you. God knows everything about you. He's always known, and he knows everything there is to know. And knowing all of that, he had a plan in his heart of love for you and for me to send Jesus Christ, yes, into the world. So we listen to Solomon's question in his prayer, "But will God indeed dwell on the earth?" And we say, "Solomon, just you wait. Just you wait, because thousands of years from now, yes, God himself is going to come down in the person of Jesus Christ, his Son, and actually dwell on the earth." He's the God who knows, but he's also the God who came. Why did he come? 1 Timothy 1:15 says, "Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. So all the people that God knows everything about, and that wonderful verse we've read, that wonderfully clear verse, "For there's no one who does not sin." So we're all together there. We're all in the same playing field there. No one who doesn't sin. You, me, everybody in this room. But knowing all of that about us, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. To save people like me and you, who've done and said and thought so many wrong things. So the God who knows, the God who came, he came to save sinners, and he went all the way to the cross. And on the cross, Jesus died. He died to pay the price for my sin and for yours. The price that we deserve to pay. Sin is punishable by death. And that's the price that I deserve to pay for my sin. You see, at the end of our lives, there's heaven and there's hell. And what will determine whether we spend eternity in heaven or eternity in hell is whether we've accepted God's gift of salvation in Jesus Christ, who came into the world to save sinners. Lastly, I want you to think about the God who hears. And that's found in verse 30 of this chapter. The end of verse 30, there's another bit of his prayer. He says this, "Listen." He's speaking to God. "Listen, in heaven, your dwelling place. And when you hear, forgive." Listen, in heaven, your dwelling place. And when you hear, forgive. It's a big thing to ask of God, isn't it? Listen to me, a human being. Listen to me, a sinner. Listen to me, just little me here on the earth. And when you listen to me, hear me and forgive me. Forgive me. We all value being listened to, don't we? And we know what it's like when we're not being listened to. I'm not a particularly good listener, but we want to be, don't we? And we know when we're not being listened to. We all value being listened to. But God is the perfect listener. Remember, he knows everything and he hears everything. He hears every prayer. So I wonder, have you ever prayed? What's your greatest need? You might have lots of needs. You might have lots of needs. You might have housing needs. You might have employment needs. You might have financial needs. You might have health needs. All sorts of different requirements that you've got just now. But the Bible makes it very clear. It's clear here in just this one chapter of the Old Testament that your biggest need is forgiveness. Your biggest need, your biggest problem is your sin that separates you from God. And the biggest thing that you need, the greatest thing you need, is for your sin to be forgiven. There is a way that your sin can be forgiven. I want to read, as we bring our thoughts to a close, I want to read from God's answer to Solomon's prayer, because God answers his prayer in the next chapter. And in verse 3 of that chapter, 1 Kings 9, God says this, "I have heard your prayer and your plea, which you have made before me. I've consecrated this house that you've built." That means I've made it holy. By putting my name there forever, my eyes and my heart will be there for all time. My eyes and my heart will be there for all time. Just want to think about eyes and heart. God's eyes and God's heart. What about God's eyes? Remember, God knows everything. He's the God who knows. He's the God who sees. He sees you. God sees you here today. He's seen you from before you were born. And he's seen you every day of your life up until this point. God sees you and he knows you. Everything there is to know about you. What about God's heart? I'm so glad that I've got the opportunity to tell you about God's heart. Because God loves you and is willing to forgive you. I just think that's incredible. God knows you and God loves you and is willing to forgive you. And I know that because he knows everything there is to know about me. And he loves me. And he's willing to forgive me. And he did when I asked the Lord Jesus Christ to save me. There's a verse tucked away towards the end of the Bible that I want to finish with. And it's in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. It says this: if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 4 says, he desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So friends, my little challenge that I want to leave with you at the end of this time in God's word is this. Do you realize that God knows you? Everything about you. Do you realize that God came into the world in the person of Jesus Christ to save you from your sin by dying on the cross for you, by rising from the dead for you? And do you realize that God hears your prayer and can forgive you? Now, there may be somebody, there may be more than one person here today who has never actually yet become a Christian. And you've never taken that simple but profound life-changing, eternity-changing step of actually asking God to save you, of asking the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive you and save you, to be your Lord and Savior. If that's the case, if you've never, hand on heart, you've never actually done that, then today's the day to do that. Today's the day to become a Christian. Today's the day to place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, understanding that God knows you, he came to save you, and he'll hear your prayer. Do you know that in all of history, God has never turned away anybody who's come believing to him and asked him to save them? He's never turned anybody away. In John chapter 5, the Lord Jesus says, he who comes to me, I'll never turn away. I'll never turn away. It doesn't matter who we are, what we've done, what our background is, the baggage that we might bring to God. We've all got sin in our lives. And we come to the cross and we say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I've done wrong, and I need to be saved. Lord, thank you for sending Jesus Christ, your Son, to die on the cross for me. And thank you, Lord, that he rose again from the dead, and please will you forgive me and help me to follow you. So I wonder if there's anybody here today who has never prayed that prayer, but would like to pray that prayer today. I can tell you something. On the basis of God's word, he'll hear your prayer, and he'll answer. Solomon prayed that prayer, didn't he? He said, listen in heaven, your dwelling place, and when you hear, forgive. He will. He will. He always has, and he will. Let's pray together. Almighty God and dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the wonderful good news of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, that he came into this world. We thank you that he is the one who knows everything about us. And yet, knowing everything about us, he still came. And when he came to save sinners. And he did so by dying on the cross for us. Lord, that's incredible love. Thank you that your eyes are open to everybody here today. And thank you that your heart is open to everybody that's here today. And your desire for them is that they be saved and forgiven of their sin and come to a knowledge of the truth. Father, thank you that that invitation is open to anybody who will respond in faith believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died on the cross for their sins, and that he rose again. So we just pray, Father, that if there's anybody here today who would like to take that step of placing their faith and trust in Jesus, that they'll do so today. And for those of us here who already have, who know and love the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we thank you from the bottom of our hearts for such incredible love. In Jesus' precious name, amen.